The Escape Pod. Let's go on a trip through time to see what tomorrow will look like yesterday.
Prepare the escape pod for a launch.
Today was yesterday's tomorrow.
Pressurizing.
Where we are now used to be the unimaginable future.
You will.
And today's outdated entertainment used to be yesterday's state-of-the-art.
Power.
Sifting through science fact and science fiction from outdated technology to the birth of the future. Let's get away from it all for a few minutes by going back the way we came into logbook.com's escape pod.
November.
It's time to strap into the logbook.com's escape pod, a daily dose of the fantastic, the futuristic, and the unabashedly geeky. I'm Earl Green, and for the next few minutes, let's see what tomorrow looked like yesterday. On this day in 1924, astronomer Edwin Hubble published his discovery that the space object M31, originally believed to be a nebula located within the Milky Way galaxy, was actually another galaxy much further away, and that there were doubtless hundreds of other galaxies in the universe. This changed the science of cosmology forever. Prior to this discovery, the Milky Way was widely thought to be the extent of the entire universe. In 1960, NASA launched TIROS 2, the second in a series of experimental weather satellites. Over the course of a year, TIROS 2 observed Earth's weather and tested out a new means of detecting Earth's magnetic field from space to keep the satellite pointed properly. In 1972, it was all over for the Soviet drive to reach the moon. For the fourth time, the massive N1 rocket, the Soviet challenger to the Saturn V, was launched. And for the fourth time, the result was a massive fireball, this time at an altitude of 25 miles. Although another N1 was in the process of being constructed, this was the last straw for Soviet space planners, and the N1 program, along with the Soviets' lunar ambitions, quickly found a new home in a classified documents drawer. In 2002, Space Shuttle Endeavour lifted off to deliver and install major new components of the International Space Station. This flight also brought the sixth full-time station crew and brought back the three-person crew of Expedition 5. This would be the last successful flight of an American space shuttle for over 2 years.
8, 7, 6, go for main engine. 2, 1, and liftoff of Space Shuttle Endeavour, another building block for the foundation of the International Space Station.
Houston now controlling the flight of Endeavour, three new residents headed for the International Space Station.
Actor Boris Karloff was born on this day in 1887. Michael Goff, who played Alfred in the early 90s Batman movies, was born in 1916. Cosmonaut Vladislav Volkov was born in 1935. He was one of the three men who died at the end of the Soyuz 11 mission. Roald Dahl, author of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and other books, died on this day in 1990. And in a darkly amusing coincidence, TV anti-violence campaigner Mary Whitehouse, who vigorously railed against Doctor Who throughout the 1970s, died in 2001.
I think it's extraordinary that people with a brilliance in many ways of making a program of that kind couldn't have extended their awareness, not only to their cameras and all the rest of it, but to the effect of what they were doing upon the children who were receiving it. That was almost as though they were a bit...
The reason that's a coincidence is that on this day in 1963, the BBC broadcast the first episode of Doctor Who.
Have you ever thought what it's like to be wanderers in the fourth dimension? Have you? To be exiles? Susan and I are cut off from our own planet, without friends or protection. But one day, we shall get back. Yes, one day. One day.
It's true, every word of it's true. You don't know what you've done coming here. Grandfather, let them go now, please. Look, if they don't understand, they can't hurt us at all. I understand these people better than you. Their minds reject things they don't understand.
No.
He can't keep us here.
Susan, listen to me. Look, I love your school. I love England in the 20th century. The last 5 months have been the happiest of my life.
But you are one of us. You look like us. You sound like us.
I was born in another time, another world.
Now look here, Susan, you... Oh, come on, Barbara. Let's get out of here.
It's no use. You can't get out. He won't let you go.
There's the door from over there. I saw it.
I'll open the door.
Are you coming, Susan? Oh, no, Grandfather, no!
Let me go. No! Get back to the ship, child. Hold it.
First Depeche Mode album, Speak and Spell, was released on this day in 1981. In 1983, Doctor Who turned 20, and in a strange sort of way, the five Doctors all turned up to celebrate.
Doctor! We need you! Join us! You can't. Some kind of mind lock. Fight it, my boy! Fight it! Concentrate! We must be one!
You see, Brucer, together we're a match for you.
Perhaps, but you will never overcome me.
We don't need to. Soon Chancellor Flavia will be here with her guards. Or can you overcome the whole High Council?
Why not? I am Lord President of Gallifrey, and you are the notorious renegades.
Using footage of Tom Baker from the never-completed 1979 story Shada and casting actor Richard Herndahl to fill the shoes of the first Doctor, who had originally been played by the late William Hartnell, this was the first Doctor Who story to premiere outside the UK, namely on PBS stations across America. On the upside, the internet didn't exist yet as far as the public was concerned, so no spoilers. In 1987, it was the Seventh Doctor's turn, and while Dragonfire wasn't really an anniversary episode, the Doctor did meet his next traveling companion.
You're going to go looking for the dragon?
Absolutely.
Oh, cool, can I come too?
Why don't you get into trouble with your boss?
Oh, I'm fed up with being a waitress. Oh, go on, Professor, let me come too.
Well, I don't see why not.
Ace! And can we search for the treasure too?
Treasure?
Yeah.
On the same day, Q arrived on the Enterprise to tempt Commander Riker's tummy with the taste of immortal powers.
What do you see, Riker? He's nothing but a flim-flam man. He's been that ever since we met him at Farpoint.
You offer Riker jealousy. What I offer him is clearly beyond your comprehension. How can you claim friendship for Riker while obstructing his way to the greatest adventure ever offered a human?
Obstructing him? Then it's not yet certain. He's not yet committed. Truly evil part of all this, Captain, is your jealousy.
In 1988, Doctor Who celebrated its silver anniversary, 25 years on the air, with the final original series appearance of the Cybermen in part one of Silver Nemesis.
They saved my life!
Don't thank them yet. We might live to regret it.
What are they?
Cybermen.
And in 2006, the fan-made Star Trek revival, Star Trek New Voyages, had some real star power at its disposal.
The Hostile has charged torpedo racks. A strategic hit will stop Mr. Chekhov's aerobatics.
Not likely.
Chekhov. That was the most elegant weapons demonstration I've ever seen.
Permission to return to my quarters, Captain.
Walter Koenig returned to the Enterprise as an aged Chekhov in the episode To Serve All My Days, written by original Star Trek story editor D.C. Fontana. You can read about these events and many more on thelogbook.com's ever-evolving timeline of geek history. The book Vorp 1 is available now, thelogbook.com's 396-page guide to Doctor Who on TV from 1963 through 2011, cross-referencing old episodes and new, and catching you up on the mythology of the longest-running science fiction series in TV history. You can pick up other original books and DVDs and hundreds of other titles in thelogbook.com store anytime. Thanks for listening to The Escape Pod.
Escape Pod was written and produced by Earl Green.
Our lives are important, at least to us. But as we see, so we learn.
And what are we going to see and learn next, Doctor?
But unlike the old adage, my boy, our destiny is in the stars. So let's go and search.
Our lives are different to anybody else's. That's the exciting thing. Nobody in the universe can do what we're doing.
What is your native planet?
Gallifrey. I am a Time Lord.
Ah, yes. A race of great technical achievement, but lacking the morale to withstand a determined assault.
I'm a Time Lord. I'm not a human being. I walk in eternity.
If I were you, I would be dead.
I lack your practice, Davros.
You are soft, like all Time Lords.
Planets come and go. Stars perish. Matter disperses, coalesces, reforms into other patterns. Other worlds.
Think about me when you're living your life, one day after another. All in a neat pattern. Think about the homeless traveller and his old police box. His days like crazy paving.
Good morning, I'm the Doctor. Now, I know a lot about you all from your applications, but what do you know about me?
You travel in time and space.
You fight injustice and stuff.
Indeed, I fight injustice and stuff.
Are you an alien?
I am, yes.
Your race is dead. You all burn, all of you. 10 million ships on fire. The entire Dalek race wiped out in 1 second.
I watched it happen.
I made it happen.
I'm not just a Time Lord. I'm the last of the Time Lords.
There was a war. Time War. The last great Time War. My people fought a race called the Daleks. For the sake of all creation. And they lost. They lost. Everyone lost.
I'm the TARDIS.
No, you're not. You're a bitey mad lady. The TARDIS is up and downy stuff in a big blue box.
Yes, that's me. A Type 40 TARDIS. I was already a museum piece when you were young. And the first time you touched my console, you said...
I said you were the most beautiful thing I'd ever known.
Then you stole me. And I stole you.
I borrowed you.
Borrowing implies the eventual intention to return the thing that was taken. What makes you think I would ever give you back?